Is she done?
We'll lead it in.
Hang on.
We'll lead it in with her barks.
All right.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to It's Disney Time. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Kim.
And we are zooming.
We're zooming away.
We are. And you have a new mic. You're very professional.
It's
2 years
so
later.
Nice. I know. You know what? It's my new favorite thing. I use it all the time now on my Zoom calls.
Yeah. You're looking really professional. Very podcast chic.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying our Friday trivias.
Yeah. You know what? I'm enjoying them, but I'm not going to say I'm good. All I can say is thank God for Mark last week. Otherwise, I would have had like Zoom.
For listeners who are tuning in, every Friday, Kim, myself, and a couple of our friends do little rounds of trivia. Everyone has a chance to host, and we've been doing it over the past couple of weeks during quarantine, during this pandemic, and it's been really fun.
I know it's something to look forward to on Friday. Have a little glass of wine, do some trivia. So, and it's interesting to see how all the hosts like do their own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a lot of them have been very difficult.
Yeah. I like that everyone always does different categories, because at least you might be really good at one category and then like suck at the other.
Totally.
Anyway, back to this is time stuff.
This is time.
We have been talking about this topic for 2 years. We've wanted to do it. I think I have. I've always known I've wanted to do this topic. And when I first started the podcast, I wrote a huge list of all the different topics I wanted to cover eventually. Most of them are done by now, but we're finally getting to it.
Season 5. I'm so excited. Yeah, I know we've been talking about this a lot. And I think it's it falls into the category of one of our favorite topics to do.
Yes, which involves singing.
Yep.
And music and songs. So what we're talking about today, we're talking about reprises. The reprises you hear in Disney movies. You know, most of them, if it's a musical Disney movie, most of them have a reprise.
It's so true. Even starting like right back from the beginning, it has always been a theme.
And I think it's also because it's a very big theme or tool that musical theater uses.
Yeah, so it just makes sense, because Disney is essentially musical theater on film.
It is. It is. So for anyone who doesn't know, reprises are basically when a popular song from earlier in the movie repeats itself later, either when the plot is developing or thickening, or even at the very end of the movie when the plot is wrapping up.
Mm-hmm. At like a climax of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. So they revisit an earlier song or theme, and the reprise comes in. It's always shorter. The lyrics generally change up,
mm-hmm,
to mean something new. They reflect the development of the story, basically, at that point.
Yeah, and they typically take the original to the next level with more emotion and heart than earlier, because the stakes are higher at this stage.
Yeah, you could even say like a lot of them get more instrumental, or they add a choir, or like something like gets bigger and better.
Yeah, there's always like a crescendo at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And we've talked about reprises before, but like obviously this is our time to only focus on them. But mm-hmm, you and I love a good reprise.
There's nothing better. I find they're typically better than the original song. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the whole purpose is to give you chills. Like you're like, oh shit, shit's getting real. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely more epic. Chills is a good way to describe it. It's like when you feel it, you're like, oh yeah, like this is like, I'm really into it now. Or you're feeling this character's angst and emotion.
And I will listen to a reprise probably like more than the original, I find, because I get more into it. I like the emotion behind it.
Well, it's like it's shorter, it's sweeter, and it's more dramatic. Like what's not to like?
You know? It's so true.
Yeah.
Outside of Disney, there's one movie that has a reprise that I absolutely love. Maybe I won't mention it now. Maybe I'll save it for the end.
Well, you could give it as an example now in case people still don't know what we're talking about.
Okay. I feel like this is what got me into reprises. If you can get into reprises, if that's a thing, this was my intro to reprises.
This was your gateway drug.
My gateway drug to reprises, yeah. In Rent. I can't even, like, I haven't listened to it in so long because I guess I moved past my Rent phase after, I don't know, but I'll cover you.
Ooh.
The reprise.
That's actually a very, is it called the reprise or? Yeah, that would be a reprise for sure. Yeah. I thought for a second, because it's the whole song again. So it's not shorter, but it's definitely more epic.
Yeah, it's definitely more epic because the first one was just like a lighthearted, like two people falling in love. And then obviously the reprise is very dramatic and sad and epic, like is the best word to describe it because it's about a loss.
Yeah, and that's a really good example of a reprise because it's a completely different context to the song. Yeah. It sounds different, but you know it's the same. So it still has the same theme as the rest of the musical, but now it's a whole other, used for a whole other emotional element.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's a good one. We'll have to listen to that after this.
That's a good one. We'll have to play it. And then just for anyone who wants an example of what a reprise would be in a Disney movie, one that me and you aren't going to focus on is, you know, the Circle of Life in The Lion King. That's at the beginning of the movie. It's epic. Everyone knows it. At the end of the movie, they replay it. They say the Circle of Life again. But it's shorter, it's sweeter, it's more triumphant, and it gets right to the point, like just the last lyrics of that song.
Yeah, exactly. Which is how they ended a lot of earlier Disney movies where they would just play out with the reprise.
Yeah, because it's just like now we're already in it. We know what this is all about. But now this is the end of the story. And that's the musical climax, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And it's typically like a choir singing it when it's playing it out at the end.
So good.
Yeah, so good.
So we'll go one at a time and we'll tell you which one we wanted to feature today in our reprise episode.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So no surprise here. I chose a villain reprise. As we all know, me and Kim love our villain songs. And if you're a new listener to the podcast, I highly recommend you go listen to our episode called Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch. There's two of them. Part one, I covered the original song of what I'm about to speak about, but in that episode, Kim and I also sang a lot, and we discussed our favorite villain songs. So one of the ones that we brought up was Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Great song.
Everyone loves that song, sung mostly by LeFou, by Gaston and his friends at the tavern. They all sing it together. What it is it's a way to describe what Gaston means to the village and how people perceive him, and it feeds his ego and his pig-headedness and everything. So I've chosen the Gaston reprise, which I think a lot of people forget about. I think
I totally forgot about it until you mentioned it because anyways, go on. It's so good.
Number one, Gaston has an amazing singing voice.
He really does.
It's gorgeous. I love it. The voice actor is Richard White. And he sings the reprise after Maurice gets back to the village and he's looking for help to help Belle, who's now locked in the tower. He goes to the tavern where they've been singing about Gaston all night and asks them for help. And this whole segment, if you listen to the soundtrack of Beauty and the Beast, is actually, this whole thing is part of the reprise. It's the beginning where he comes in, he's like, help me. And everyone kind of like blows him off. And then Gaston's like, I'll help you out. And they end up kicking him out of the bar.
So rude.
And then Gaston starts making his plot. He basically turns the Gaston reprise into a plot to force Belle to marry Gaston and to manipulate her. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do this by throwing Maurice into the insane asylum, which obviously back in the day probably wasn't that great a place to be. And he was going to use that as blackmail to get Belle to marry him. So this is all what's coming out when they're singing the song, and it's catchy as fuck. So the first reason I like it is because Gaston has an amazing voice. The second one is because it pushes the plot forward. And as a villain song, Gaston probably wouldn't actually be a really big villain song until they do the reprise. And you see
it's
that he kind of like plots out what he's going to do.
This is the more cynical version of the original song.
Yes, exactly. And the next reason that I like it a lot is because of all the insults that he gives Maurice. If you listen to the lyrics, I'll probably play the entire thing when it comes to clip time. But they call him a crazy old Maurice. They call him wacky old coot, which is a great insult. Loony old man, and a harmless crackpot. So there's like, there's like a bunch of insults in there that are really funny when you think about it. I know. But it's just so catchy. And I love when there's like dialogue between two characters in song or poem form.
Yeah.
Verse form. It just flows nicely. And then it ends up being a climax at the end too, when they go right back into singing about Gaston.
Yeah.
I think that this part of the song actually does bring out a lot more in Gaston's character and personality. It kind of like validates a lot of what they were saying earlier when they sang the original Gaston. Because in the original Gaston, they're singing about how he's slick and quick and all these things. And you're like, is he though? And then now that they've seen that Gaston, the way he thinks and the way he manipulates people, he's not unintelligent and he is quite cunning. And he's also not afraid to cheat, and he'll use these underhanded tactics to get what he wants. When he comes up with this plan to blackmail Belle and threaten to have Maurice thrown into the asylum, it just shows that he's really good at improvising and coming up with threats really, really quickly. So in this reprise, he says that he's taking cheap shots. Like, no one takes cheap shots like Gaston. But, like, they love him for that. Like, I think this is really, really funny and really enjoyable. Just overall, just a really, really good reprise.
Crazy old Maurice. LeFou, I'm afraid I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime.
I know. But that wacky old coot is Belle's father. And his sanity's only so-so. Now the wheels in my head have been turning since I looked at that loony old man. See, I promised myself I'd be married to Belle, and right now I'm evolving a plan.
If I die, yes.
Then we go.
No, would she?
I guess.
Now I get it. Let's go!
No! Like Gaston takes cheap shots like Gaston.
Plans to persecute harmless crackpots like Gaston.
So his marriage will soon be served.
So good. You know what my favorite line is?
What?
When he's like, LeFou, I'm afraid I've been thinking. Uh-huh. A dangerous pastime.
I know.
It's just like, it's so cute.
It's so catchy.
But honestly, like, it's that the fact that that's the plan that he came up with to get Belle as his wife is really concerning. Like, he's not like, hey, let's show Belle what a great guy I can be. He's like, nope, let's go straight to threatening her father, to throw her father in the loony bin.
The wacky old coot, as they call it.
Yeah. As, if she doesn't agree to marry me, and then maybe after that, she'll learn to love me. Like, what? But you know what? He's not too far off, because that's a similar scenario that happened with the Beast.
Yeah.
Like you think Gaston is like pretty, I don't know, like evil, and like he's definitely not going about it the right way, but the Beast didn't really go about it the right way either. And look where he ended up. So you know what? He's not too far off.
No, he's not. And honestly, like, it's just funny, because even when this plot doesn't seem to work, and later, like, he plans to get Maurice thrown into the asylum, turns out Belle was telling the truth and Maurice was telling the truth. There is a Beast, and they prove it to the community. And like, how quickly Gaston changes his focus. And immediately he's like, well, this Beast is like harmful, and we're like, that's the mob song, and we got to go kill it. Like, it's just
another great song.
So I'm just saying, like, this reprise flows with the rest of the movie. It doesn't feel out of place. It's actually so engulfed in the movie that people forget that it's there.
Yeah, exactly. It just comes so naturally.
Yeah, and it's just so fucking fun to sing. Like, the wheels in my head have been turning since I looked at that loony old man. Like, it's just really, really fun to sing.
So good. There's so many good, like, even in the new Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson and I can't remember who played Gaston.
Luke Evans.
Oh yeah, I thought his voice was really good too in those like really important,
yeah, he did like, a good job
parts of the song, like when he's like, "I use antlers in all of my decorating." So good. Yeah.
So Luke Evans and Josh Gad, who played LeFou in the live action, apparently Disney Plus is giving them their own prequel.
Ooh,
I'm into that. Yeah, I'm into that.
Out of all the characters in that movie, I like them the best.
Yeah, they're so entertaining. So I think they'll cover them in like the war or the hunting or whatever it is that they did before. One more thing I want to add about Gaston reprise. It's actually not really about the reprise at all, but it is something that I learned when I was doing research about it, is that originally Gaston, they had a whole other dynamic for his characters. Originally he was like three different characters and they combined them into one.
Huh.
But just a little fact, guys, like Gaston was originally not supposed to die the way he died. Him and the Beast were supposed to fight in the forest, and then he would have nearly killed the Beast with a gun, and then Belle would have came up behind him and hit him with a rock.
Belle's a murderer all of a sudden?
Belle would have murdered him. No, he would have rolled down the hill, and then at the bottom of the hill would be all the wolves that chased them earlier, and then they would have torn him apart.
Well, that's gruesome.
Yeah, so that's why Disney said no. But then they ended up doing that with Scar later in The Lion King.
I was going to say that's very like the hyenas eating Scar. Yeah. Which was really, really sinister.
Yeah, yeah. So that really doesn't have anything to do with the reprise at all. I just wanted to bring up that interesting fact that I learned.
I love it.
I was like, wow.
No, that is really interesting. No, I think like we talked about in our Disney death episode, the fall is the only way to go when you want to leave no blame towards the hero. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's their own fault that they fell to their demise. And
for sure,
that's the only way it works for children.
That's the only way they can like really handle what happened to that character.
Yeah. Or that's the only way they can like keep the hero within their like, like their good standing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's just me bringing up, you know, the greatness that is Gaston, and then the Gaston reprise is just like cherry on top of the cake for a really, really great villain song. Once again, check out Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch Part 1 if you guys want to hear us break down Gaston itself. But that's it. So what's your choice?
So it's interesting that you chose a reprise to a song you already covered in Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch, because I chose also a villain reprise, no surprise there, for a song that we covered in Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch 2. So you might as well just call this episode Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch 3.
Reprise.
Part 3, reprise.
The reprise.
I chose Mother Knows Best reprise.
Ooh, from Tangled.
From Tangled. Yeah, so little recap. Mother Knows Best. My gosh, I can't speak. I had a cider before this.
Big mistake, huge.
Yeah, huge. Little recap, Mother Knows Best is a musical theater-inspired ballad composed by our favorite, probably best friend in the world, Alan Menken.
Yes.
And performed by actress and singer Donna Murphy in her role as Mother Gothel. So are you familiar with Donna Murphy?
Not really.
No. So the name didn't ring a bell for me either, but obviously she's got musical theater pipes. Like you can tell she's done Broadway, and she has. So I did a little Googling, and it turns out she's actually starred in one of our favorite movies. You may remember her from Center Stage as Juliet, one of the ballet instructors.
No way.
Honestly, she's like really strikingly beautiful, not at all like what Mother Gothel looks like.
Actually, no, but don't, if I'm thinking right, she's like Mother Gothel actually kind of has a similar aesthetic.
Yeah. I guess they do have somewhat similar features, like kind of like harsh, those like harsh, beautiful features. That
yeah. Like the lines, like right? Model.
Yeah.
Yes. Contour, lots of contour.
She has lots of contour, but, actually, it was recently, like in the last couple of days, the 20th anniversary of Center Stage. So when I came upon this, there was like, I actually got like lost down a rabbit hole because there's all these new articles like reliving the movie because it has been 20 years. And she recently tweeted about it as well. So that like kind of got me down the rabbit hole. But another interesting coincidence, the main single from Center Stage was I Want to Be With You, performed by none other than Mandy Moore.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go. Worlds collide.
But ever since quarantine, like, Tangled has had so much relevance in, like, our day-to-day lives.
I know. That's the other thing, too. Like, I've watched it twice. Twice or more in quarantine already. And it's probably the most relevant movie, as we talked about in our quarantine episode. Mm-hmm. Disney characters who are also in quarantine.
Yeah.
Mandy Moore and Donna Murphy, not their only film of relevance, Center Stage. Great movie.
For our generation, it is great. Like, it's really good.
Back to reprises. So Mother Knows Best is eventually reprised in a much more sinister manner later in the film when Mother Gothel, when Rapunzel finally leaves the tower, obviously Mother Gothel is trying to catch up with her the entire way. God forbid she loses that beautiful, beautiful magical hair that keeps her young. When she finally catches up with Rapunzel is essentially a whole new person. She's experienced the entire outside world since she saw her last. She goes back to her like go-to trick of trying to instill fear in Rapunzel while also breaking down her confidence little by little with these jabs that are less passive aggressive now and more just aggressive, because her patience is clearly wearing thin at this stage. But what she's not expecting is that Rapunzel has obviously matured over the course of the movie, and she's seen some shit by this time. As she says, she's like, I've been on this incredible journey and have seen and learned so much. Like, this time around, she gets the courage to actually stand up to Mother Gothel and refuses to go with her, which really switches the tone of Mother Gothel's song. And she starts mocking her when she realizes that all of a sudden Rapunzel has this newfound confidence. She's like, oh, I see how it is. Rapunzel knows best, and goes on to start singing about how Rapunzel thinks she knows everything now. But she's obviously pissed, and she can feel her control of Rapunzel slipping away. So you can feel that in the tenseness of her song. And then ultimately, the best part of the song is when it builds to the crescendo at the end. I can't even begin to sing it, because the way she does it is so good. But if he's lying, don't come crying.
Yeah.
Mother knows. So good. We'll have to put a little clip in, because I could never do it justice. It's just like the best. I could put that on repeat. It's so good.
Rapunzel knows best. Rapunzel's so mature now. Such a clever grown-up miss. Rapunzel knows best. Fine, if you're so sure now, go ahead then, give him this. Ha! This is why he's here. Don't let him deceive you. Give it to him what you see. Trust me, my dear, that's how fast he'll leave you. I won't say I told you so. No, Rapunzel knows best. So if he's such a dreamboat, go and put him to the test. If he's lying, don't come crying. Mother knows best.
And she also ends it by, like, with her cape. She, like, it's blurry.
Like every good villain has to have that cape and has to do that, like,
turn.
Dramatic turn.
Very dramatic.
Like we chatted about in Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch. Two, Mother Knows Best is a really, really good song, and it's like very ominous and sinister, but this just amps it up to the next level. And Mother Gothel kind of loses her mask that she's been wearing. Like, the entire time she's been pretending she's a good mother, but she slips up often. And then she like jumps to the opportunity of like being like, oh no, I was just kidding. I was totally just kidding. You're so cute. You're amazing. Like, I love you. But now she can't even pretend to keep that facade going. Like, she's basically just like, oh, you think he likes you? Oh, how could, like, she's like, that's demented.
Yeah.
How could you ever think that he would like this? Like, she's so rude. It's so amazing. I love it. There's no better reprise than a villain reprise in my mind.
It's so funny that you brought this reprise up because, okay, there actually isn't a lot of, I thought there would be a lot of lists online.
Yeah.
I thought there would be people like comparing reprises, like BuzzFeed articles. I thought there would be a lot more than what I found. I found it so interesting that so many, the lists that were there had this one up there, like top five, like always like in the top bidding. And Gaston wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't see Gaston on one list.
Yeah, which is so interesting to me because it's such, Mother Knows Best is newer, number one. And I feel like so many people like love Frozen versus Tangled. So the fact that this reprise is on the lists that are out there, it's just so, it's just interesting to me. Personally, like this one never hit as hard as other reprises have for me. But I still understand that it's really, really good and well sung.
Well, you're going to have to listen to it again and let it hit you hard because once it does, you'll never be the same.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really good. And I think it fits in really nicely at that point in the movie.
It does. It. Well, here's the thing. There is another reprise in Tangled, but it nowhere near comes close to how good the Mother Knows Best one is. So the other reprise in Tangled is When Will My Life Begin reprise. And that's when Rapunzel's leaving the tower. And obviously, this is when her life is really beginning. Because before she's wondering when her life will begin, now she's been waiting 18 years for this moment. So there's a lot of built up emotion and it comes through in the song. But it doesn't hit the same way that the Mother Gothel one does.
I love that reprise, though, like the one that Rapunzel sings. You're right. It does build up that emotion. I think she expresses it so beautifully. Mandy Moore did a great job singing that. My favorite part in that reprise is when she starts, she's physically running in the scene, but like it's building and she's like, I could go running and dancing and laughing. And like she starts like listing all the things that she's, like she's overcome with all her options now.
Yeah, she totally
like the
is.
First time ever, I'm chasing and leaping and bounding, hair flying, heart pounding and splashing and reeling and finally feeling. Now's when my life begins.
So like I would feel that, I feel that those positive vibes more than I did for the other one, but they're both so good.
They both are so good. As Flynn Rider says, overprotective mother, forbidden road trip. I mean, this is serious stuff.
This is serious stuff.
Yeah. It is. It is. But I just, even When Will My Life Begin is such a good song that obviously the reprise is going to be good too.
Yeah. And I almost like, if you're ready, do you have anything else to say about Mother Knows Best?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So when I was making my list and I knew I was going to talk about Gaston, I started making lists of the other reprises that I really, really liked. And When Will My Life Begin was on there. And then I was kind of thinking about it in terms of the other princesses, because a lot of the princesses, not all of them, but a lot of them have reprises because they sing the most pinnacle song in the movie usually. And I would put Rapunzel's up there with, I'm going to name two others right now that are heavy hitters in terms of reprises that are memorable. The first one is Part of Your World. Ariel and the Little Mermaid. We've talked about this before. That song has two reprises.
Yeah.
One is sung by Ariel on a rock and the other one is sung at her wedding. Yeah. And then the other one, Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and she re-sings Belle like before she's called to action.
Oh gosh, I love that song. Is it interesting that all of these are done by Alan Menken?
All
of the best reprises, same composer.
It is interesting that he's just so goddamn talented and gives us chills in every movie we watch of him.
Yeah, but no surprise.
Not surprised. So I'm just saying, like, I think When Will My Life Begin, like, it's just as satisfying as the other two, but it hasn't been around nearly as long.
Yeah, no, it is really good. Those would probably be my top three after the one we just chatted about. And then, of course, I'd have to put a top four in there, which is One Jump Ahead reprise.
Ooh, yes.
So good.
So good.
The reason why I love One Jump Ahead so much, the reprise, is because it shows you a different side of Aladdin. So One Jump Ahead, the actual song, he's like very like he's having fun with it. He's messing with the guards, very lighthearted. But then when you see him in the reprise, you see like the more personal side of him, that he feels misunderstood. And he's like,
He's hurting.
He doesn't like being called, you know, riffraff.
Street rat.
I got on by that. If only they'd look closer, would they see a poor boy? No siree. They'd find out there's so much more to me.
So good. But when we saw the Aladdin remake, I was so looking forward to that part because I love it so much, and I felt that it just crashed and burned.
It's like touching. That's exactly the same kind of thing that you just mentioned earlier in Rent, like, right? When they take a really fun, cute, uplifting song and they spin it on its head and they're like, damn, actually, this is a song in a different context and, you know, at night, a different point of time after Aladdin's just been seriously insulted. It's a downer, and it's like, damn, like he's really, really exposing himself here. He's being vulnerable and he's telling us why we should care about him.
It's like, okay, wait, this guy's like, there's more to him. Like he says, they'll find out there's so much more to me.
Yep. And that's the thing too, is like in The Little Mermaid, the Part of Your World reprise, she's once again, Ariel's singing about what she wants and like has no way of getting it. But like Aladdin's kind of doing the same thing where they're just kind of telling you like what they wish.
Yeah.
Like extension of I want songs is always really nice to hear.
Yeah, totally. So with The Little Mermaid, I mean, the first one is when she finds Prince Eric and she's like, what would I do
to live where you are?
And she's like, what would I pay to stay here beside you? I mean, we know what you would pay, Ariel.
Stay here beside you. What would I do to see you smiling at me? Where would we walk? Where would we run? If we could stay all day in the sun, just you and me, and I could be part of your world.
But then at the end of the movie, when they do the reprise of the reprise, it's again that same thing that happens where the choir or like chorus is singing it, and it's like, now we can walk,
now we can run. Yeah,
so it's just basically telling you like she got what she wanted.
Yes, and that's the thing, it's like in the end, no, like that doesn't sit well with us because we're like, this in the end is a very shallow woman. However, the music is so good.
Yeah, exactly. And you feel it. You're like, yes, now we can walk.
Yeah,
now we can run.
And also the fact that like we get to hear like this amazing song again, like number three, you know, like let's sing it again.
I'm here for it. And then that's typically, and that they do the same thing in Cinderella too, where they're basically just like riding off into the distance and you know they're going to live happily ever after. And there's just like a chorus playing them out.
And they do that a lot of the time in a lot of these movies. Like at the end is when you hear like the wedding bells. Like they do that the same thing in Princess and the Frog and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. Like they always kind of replay those songs.
Yeah.
In Belle's reprise, she cranks it to 11 too. Because like at first you think she's singing about Gaston, right? It sounds like, you know, Monsieur Gaston, you know, like that whole thing. And then in the end, she runs out to the field and she's like, this is what I want. Like, this is her I want song. Cause like Belle wasn't really, you know?
No. Well, like, I can't believe he thinks that is what I want, like to marry him. No, this is what I want. He wants more than this provincial life.
I want adventure in the great white somewhere. I want it more than I can tell. And for once, it might be grand to have someone understand. I want so much more than they've got planned.
I'm not gonna lie, I acted that scene out several times during my childhood.
Yeah, no, like that's what I'm saying. Like Part of Your World, I did a lot on The Rock. Belle, I did a lot in The Hills. And now if I was a little bit younger, I'd probably be doing Rapunzel out in the forest, you know?
Yeah, totally. If I ever found like a dandelion seed like thing, puff or whatever the heck they're called, I would just be like into the wind. I want so much more than, like, just like,
hopefully you had the right amount of wind where it picks up the seeds and they like float in a beautiful like little formation away from you.
I mean, at that time I probably had a much bigger imagination, so that's what it seemed like to me at least.
You know, because Little Mermaid, so that has like the two reprises afterwards, there are a lot of movies lately that have come out in the past little while that also reprise songs many times. Coco, they sang Remember Me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think three times after the original.
Right, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. And I love it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, play it, you know, more. I don't care. Play it 10 times. But one thing I want to bring up, and I did a little bit of thinking about this one, was Moana. Like, in Moana, she sings How Far I'll Go two times after that in various formats.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And it was good because it's already like a really powerful, motivating song. And then when she like finally takes off to go save her island and she like sets out on the sea, it gets like even more powerful and you're like, yes.
Yeah, because her grandma's ghost is like floating along with the boat, like in the stingray form. And then later when she sings it again, like that's like boom, her grandma comes and gives her like a little pep talk and she's like, I am Moana. And she kind of sings like it again. And I think that's like really beautiful. Like if you're going to pick a really good, strong song, like why wouldn't you play it again?
Just bring it back. Everyone loves it anyways. That song was such a like popular song when it came out.
Yeah, it's her theme song, so play on.
But and then she's not actually singing it in the reprise. I can't remember about the end of the movie, but when she first reprises it and she's like getting the boat ready to like take off, it's actually just in the background. She's not like actually singing it. She's thinking it, not singing.
It's in her soul at that point.
Yeah, exactly, which is in my soul too, so I get it.
I want to also bring up when before she sings the second reprise of How Far I'll Go, she goes into the cave, discovers that her ancestors were voyagers, and they sing a song called We Know the Way.
Yeah.
It's like an uplifting song. It's a very cultural song, it sounds like, with the drums and everything, just about how they would go out into the sea and explore. And at the end of the movie, this is the song that they reprise.
Oh, yeah.
And they choose the most uplifting cinematic version of the song to play at the end. Mm-hmm. And it's about how, like, the lyrics are, you know, everywhere we roam, we keep our island in our mind. And when it's time to find home, we know the way. And Moana, when she returns to her home at the end of the movie, she's now the hero of the story. And she saved the ocean and her people and her land. And she's now following in the footsteps of her ancestors, and so are her people, and they're following her onto the boats, and they're going to explore and find other islands. So I just want to bring attention to another song that I think is a little underrated that not a lot of people talk about, because I think How Far I Go was like overshine everything else.
Totally.
But it puts a smile on my face and it gives me the shivers that you described earlier, and I just think it's a really gorgeous scene, like at the end of the movie. That really ties it all in together. That works for that one. I also want to say, if you watch Hunchback of Notre Dame, there's a really epic song at the beginning of the movie called The Bells of Notre Dame, where, oh, I forget his name, the puppet guy, he's singing and he's got an incredible voice, and he like basically hits a note, a high note that I've never heard since this guy hit it. And he sings it again at the end of the movie where Quasi's allowed out of the tower, he's a hero. And then he goes like the bells, 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 bells. And it rises up into like a really epic, like he hits a note. I'll have to play it because.
Yes, I actually don't. I haven't seen that movie in so long that I'd have to listen to it.
Okay, I'll play it right now.
Whatever that pitch you can feel and bewitch you, the rich and the ritual bells of the bells. Oh!
on your emotion, and like that is a very emotionally driven story mm-hmm. in Hunchback. So I love that they brought that song back to like shove in your face at the end of the movie. This was epic. This was the ending with something really big, and they chose a song that matches that.
It ties up really nicely. Mm-hmm. You know what we need a reprise of?
What?
Poor Unfortunate Souls. It's my biggest regret is that we never got the Poor Unfortunate Souls reprise that we deserve.
Would you say like when Vanessa sings in the boat, it's kind of the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, that was really good.
That was a treat.
Okay. I'll allow it. I'll allow them to get away with it this time.
So I'm saying it's like they could have done nothing, but they did give us that very delightful little ditty that she sings while she's getting ready for the wedding. It's just like a throwaway, like a runaway hit that she did.
Exactly. We want the full version. That's what we want.
There's another song that I wanted to bring up quick too that we missed over when we talked about Aladdin, but we've talked about it before, is the Prince Ali reprise that Jafar sings.
Oh, such a good one. Yes.
Yes, that's a classic too.
It's so good. And it's so, I would say, again, probably better than the original. Like, in that moment, it's exactly what we needed.
Let's take something that was previously really happy, and Jafar doesn't make it sad. He makes it, like, maniacal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like, oh, you think this is Prince Ali? Well, let me just rain some knowledge on you right now.
And, like, be delighted about it, too. Like, his laugh at the end of that song is really iconic.
So Ali turns out to be merely a lantern. Just calm, need I go on, take it from me. His personality flaws give me adequate cause. Just send him packing on a one-way trip so his prospects take a terminal dip. His assets froze on the venue chosen is the ends of the earth.
And he says what he's doing in the song too. He's like, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put you in this like little ball. I'm gonna put you up into this tower and off you go. You know, like that's plot device right there.
So good.
There's it's not quite a reprise. It's almost like a continuation of the same song, but in Savages and Pocahontas. And maybe I'm gonna get flack for this because a lot of people don't like that song. But later, Pocahontas comes in and sings her little ditty as part of the Savages song. And she kind of sings along in the background of the other people singing Savages. And it's really, really pretty.
That's another movie I need to rewatch because I can't fully remember that part.
Yeah.
But again, I remember like when I was a kid, obviously having the soundtrack for Pocahontas and just singing that, like running around in my house singing that song, not understanding at all the horrible things I was saying.
Yeah. It's when they're saying like savages, and she's like, how loud are the drums of war? Like she sings that whole part.
Yeah.
Bring out the prisoner.
We will see the dying in the coast.
Now we make them pay.
Eagle, help my feet to fly.
Without a warning.
Mountain, help my heart be great.
Now we leave them
blood
and
bone and trust. Spirits of the earth and sky. Please don't let it be too late.
Honestly, Pocahontas has such an amazing voice as well.
I know. So that's why I don't know if that actually counts though, because it is kind of a continuation of the same song.
Right.
Another one that I know you haven't watched in a while is Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he looks so like unenthused. Just,
No, sorry. I was trying to rack my brain for what the reprise was from that.
So at the end of the movie, like we said, a lot of them are done at the end of the movie, and they sing Two Worlds at the end of the movie, which is what they sang at the beginning of the movie as well. But it's also amped up. Phil Collins is there with his background singers, and Tarzan and Jane are showing us what their life is together on the island. It's super exciting. They're like on the vines. They're swinging. They're like wrapped up in each other. They're in love. There's the elephant like gets them in their trunk and throws them. The father's there. Like it's a really epic scene. Ties everything up nicely, like answers all the questions you might have about her staying there. And it's just like it's another good end to the movie and carries it on from the beginning.
Put your faith in what you most believe in. Two worlds, one family. Trust your heart that fate decide to guide these lives. To guide these lives we see.
much you love about another Phil Collins song.
Exactly. It can't get any better than that.
No, it really can't. I do find it very interesting, though, that Tarzan went such a different musical route. They didn't go like musical theater, break out into song. They didn't go that route at all. Like, it was mostly just like Phil Collins singing in the background.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. Maybe it was just like the tone that they wanted to go with. A lot of the Lion King music, you're right, the characters actually did sing their own, but they had the overture of like Circle of Life and Can You Feel the Love. So maybe they are just like, Phil Collins wants to sing us songs and we're just going to let him do it.
Yeah. He's not just going to compose. He's going to be right there singing us along with it.
Yeah. It's actually, and this is not to do with reprises, but I kind of like that in the songs themselves, Phil Collins does push the plot forward and he kind of speaks for Tarzan and what he's feeling. Like, Tarzan isn't saying himself. Maybe it's because Tarzan doesn't actually speak English, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a plot device to use. This is what he's thinking through the music, but he can't actually express that.
That makes sense.
Could be. I don't know. That could be just like my English major bullshit, but like, I'm just.
No, it does. It tracks. Another reprise that we haven't even brought up yet, because I don't know how good it is. I don't know. Is For the First Time in Forever.
Yes.
Frozen.
Yes. You mean like when she goes to the castle?
Yeah. So when Anna finally gets to the castle and is talking to like trying to get Elsa to come back and save Arendelle, because obviously it's like permawinter, and they start singing again.
I'm such a fool, I can't be free. No escape from the storm inside of me. I can't control the curse.
What made me so angry, because like, I saw this reprise on the couple lists that are out there for people to see, and it was like always like high up on the list as well, and I'm like, why is Gaston not on this list? And this one is it because it's a duet, because Gaston's a duet, like between LeFou and Gaston. I mean, we don't have to compare the two, but like, it is interesting that this made it on. I think maybe because it's newer and Frozen was such a big deal.
Yeah. And I do like it. Like, I have nothing against it. It just wasn't one of the ones that like really stood out for me. And maybe it's because I don't get the same chills that I do from Belle reprise or Aladdin. It's no Aladdin reprise.
It also doesn't, maybe it's also not used the same way. It's kind of like they're having a conversation and they're like, why don't we just make them sing? Because in the end, it doesn't actually like uplift or push anything forward. No, it does, because she's like singing and and she ends up like hurting Anna after that. So
right, maybe. You know, it was a high emotion scene for sure. But I think you're right, it was much more of a dialogue. And I find that Frozen is like that anyways, like both Frozen 1 and Frozen 2, they are a lot of the time just singing dialogue, which is a lot more like a Broadway musical than some of the other Disney movies. Yeah, it's just, it didn't feel the same, like the same kind of reprise that we're used to.
Yeah, you're not. And I'm thinking about it now, Frozen 2 didn't have any reprises, but they do. They sing a reprise from the first movie. They sing Nurengard or whatever their names are. They sing their chanting song.
Right.
It plays at the beginning of Frozen 1. It's like...
Right.
It's catchy. It's really catchy. Actually loves it. She wanted me to sing it for her when I was FaceTiming with her. I was like, of all the songs in that movie, that's what she wanted me to sing her. But they didn't sing it again in the first movie. But then in the second movie, they come back to it. Like, remember, they meet the people and they find out that their mother was also one of their people.
Right. Yeah.
And then they all like grab shoulders and start singing to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gave me chills when I saw it in the theater. But like, I'm a huge fan of this movie, as you know.
Yeah, totally. And it is a great song too. So. Yeah.
So that's just interesting.
It makes sense that they would bring it back also because it represents their culture and the coming together of two cultures to sing like their one song makes sense.
Damn, Frozen 2 gets me every time. Every time I talk about it, I get so happy. Yeah, because it really, like, that's another way to tie in the fact that it's a sequel as well, that it's like one continuing story.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss, chef's kiss.
If they made up a new song, it just wouldn't make sense. They'd be like, no, the people already have a song. Let them sing their song.
Yeah, like, what are they going to sing? Like, we're the forest spirits. Like, you know, like I'm glad that they brought in. So they gave a reason for that song being in the first one at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were very clever to do that because, you know, they could have just been, you're right, they could have just written something different.
Well, I find that with Disney, you know, back in the day when they made those VHS, like Little Mermaid 2 or Cinderella 2, they're very disjointed. I found when I was watching it, it's like they didn't even watch the first movie. They're just like, let's create like a whole new plot, everything. So this one makes sense because it felt more like a continuation.
Yes, I agree with that. Good. I'm glad that we brought Frozen up because otherwise we would not have made such a comparison.
So true.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you'll find anybody who's watching a Disney movie that's a musical, I think you'll see a lot of that kind of repetition. They'll bring it back at the end, the most epic song, and you'll be like, ah, the movie's concluding because we're hearing something familiar again, and it's gonna lead us out.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you know that everything's they're going to live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like movies that we're not going to have time to bring them all up now, but like I'll name them off real quick. There's like Oliver and Company, Dumbo, Bambi, all of these movies bring songs back. You know, we should talk about Bambi more than we do.
For an epic reprise. Yeah, I can't even say that I've seen Bambi since I was a child. I've always been I think my mom, when she saw it, it like scarred her. And so she's always like had it ingrained in me that like, you can't watch Bambi. It's too much. Like, it's just too much.
Kim, I challenge you because I gave you my Disney Plus account.
Yep.
I challenge you to watch Bambi and we will do a Bambi on trial.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Can that be our next episode? I'm so there. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Perfect. We'll do it. You heard it here first, everybody. We're going to be doing Bambi on trial. We're going to break down this really sweet movie about a deer, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it's happening.
Okay, well, this was so fun. We've wanted to sing for a long, long time. What was the last singing episode that we had?
Honestly,
I
think it was Evil Bitch Perfect Pitch too.
It's like so long ago.
Yeah. I was going to say we also did villain songs, but that is exactly what that was.
There was no difference. That's exactly what we just said. But I find like we find reasons to sing in a lot of things we do. I feel like since we saw Frozen 2, we break into Show Yourself quite often.
Yeah. Well, I know Mark was even singing it yesterday. I can't remember what the context was, but he was singing, oh my gosh, what's the song? Not Show Yourself.
Unknown.
To the unknown.
Can I hear it? I want to hear it so bad.
You know the words. So he was just like doing like the you know, when you don't know the words to a song, and so you're just like mouthing. Yeah, not even humming, just like making the sounds that like the words make in the background. I was like, ah.
So cute.
Like he was in the kitchen singing like whatever part that comes before that, and then I was on the couch and I was just like, like, yep, that's one.
So I told you, like, my niece has been obsessed with Frozen. She watches Frozen 1 and 2 because I gave them my Disney Plus account as well. It's you and my family.
Perfect.
She's obsessed, obviously, as she should be. And she was going like this a lot, like, like she was doing that a lot. And my sister didn't know what she was doing. And then finally she realized she was trying to sing Into the Unknown. Like she was trying to do that.
Aww, so cute.
I know. So I don't blame Mark. It's catchy. It's a catchy tune.
Oh, it's catchy as heck. Yeah. And I don't think he really has a choice because I play it kind of frequently.
I know. I actually, now I'm in the mood. I might go downstairs and put it on.
The movie or the soundtrack?
The movie.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know what I'm putting on, Bambi, because here we go.
All right, great. So that'll be our next recording. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Please, if you have a favorite reprise, tell us about it. Go to It's Just Time on Facebook and Instagram. Message us. Let us know, because I love talking about reprises. So if you bring up something that we forgot or say like, yeah, this was actually like an amazing one, I'll find a clip of it and put it on Instagram.
Yep, let's do it. I know this was a really fun topic. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed researching it as well.
Yeah, but like we said, like, why have more people not done lists on this?
No, there hasn't. I found one blog on reprises. One blog. So obviously it's like a, you know, it's an untapped, just, I don't know, plethora of stuff to talk about that no one has gotten into yet. So we're doing a groundbreaking work here, Steph.
Yeah, there's like a niche area in here that no one has done anything with, that we could be like originators. We could be the OGs.
Yeah, we are. We now are officially. The minute you post this episode, it's like, here we are.
Here it is. Your breakdown of the best reprises in Disney. Love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Disney.